from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am in Southern California. What's up? Welcome back. We start hour number two. I made a trip to New York over the weekend. Good to be back here in Cali. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You know I'm broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Telephone call is coming up. We had an open phone first hour, but I've got some business right now. We are joined, as I mentioned, by a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is a six-time Pro Bowler, seven tackles, and 2.5 sacks. Huge performance in yesterday's win. He is now the Packers' all-time leader in sacks for the season. Six sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. He is a legend of the 818. The Packers are at Cleveland on Sunday. Clay Matthews is my guest. Clay, it's great to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back on, Jim.
Clay, always good to talk to you. Now, guys will say, Clay, especially this time of year, every game is important. But going into yesterday, you knew where you were in the standings and what a loss might mean to your season. So did you and the team approach yesterday like it was a must-win?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is very much the story, you know, that we had last year in which we had to kind of win out those final six games last year. And, you know, this year it's no different. So with five games as of yesterday, you know, we knew we had to win them all. And it's obviously, you know, all the more difficult when you're missing your most important player. But, you know, it just requires guys to step up. And fortunately, we were able to get the win. And, you know, it took all four quarters plus some. But, you know, we got Cleveland this next week. So hopefully we can get another win. And, you know, if Aaron's healthy enough to come back, then, you know, anything's possible with those final three games against some good teams. And, you know, I think we got a very real chance of getting into the playoffs again.
Clay Matthews joining us. Now, guys did step up, especially defensively. You had seven sacks total. You had 2.5 of those. I know you've got a lot of confidence in Brett Hundley, but when Aaron Rodgers isn't out there, do the guys on defense constantly try to step it up or turn up another level to take some pressure off a young quarterback and make sure you get the job done?
I definitely think so. I think more so than, you know, what's happening on game day, I think it's the message that we you know, our defensive coordinator and coaches and the veterans really present to the defense throughout the week is that, you know, we need to find a way to create turnovers, to score some points on defense. And we were able to create three last week, you know, unfortunately in that loss to Pittsburgh. And then, you know, this past yesterday, you know, we had a huge Dean Lowry had a fumble recovery or, you know, however you look at it for, you know, 60-some yards to put 7 points on the board. And, you know, we needed every point we took. So, you know, it was huge. And it's definitely the message that we're kind of presenting is that defense has to find ways to create turnovers and put up points.
Hey, Clay, what a moment that was too, right? Dean Lowry had a 62-yard fumble return for a touchdown. What were you thinking when you saw the big fella lumbering down the field the way that he was? And what kind of speed does he have?
Yeah, you know, I was on the sideline for that play, catching my breath, and I pulled out my stopwatch and clocked him. I think he ran a 5-1, not impressive by any means, but nonetheless got to the end zone and had a perfect opportunity for a Lambeau leap, and just, you know, he missed that as well. But, you know, from a guy who missed his first Lambeau leap as well, those walls are real deceiving, though, especially for a guy who probably weighs, you know, 300 bills. It's, you know, it's a tough task to ask for, but hey, we'll take the points. We'll work on the Lambeau leap later.
Clay, what's it like to miss the leap? And then what was it like the first time you nailed that leap?
You know, it's embarrassing at first, you know, because you go and you get the touchdown and you think everybody's, you know, going to congratulate you for that. But all you hear is, you know, the boos from not having any hops and not being able to get up there. And it's been a long time since I was on the sophomore squad of a Agoura Chargers basketball team, in which case I was showcasing my talents, but those walls are high up there. So, but the second time I nailed it, you just, you know, you really got to give it max effort and, you know, throw that vert up there.
You know, Clay, I was trying to look it up, but how are you guys doing in football? And I'm not saying that because I know the answer. I really don't even know, because I know the Claussens came in and Calabasas is just some kind of power now, man. You got to respect where we're coming from athletically and especially in football. And how are your boys doing at Agoura?
Well, you know, we made the playoffs. And then it ended after the first week. You know, I forget who we lost to. I think it was a big blowout. But, you know, you got to be proud of the kids from the 818. You know, not a lot of guys make it out from there. So just the fact that we were able to make the playoffs, I think, is a victory in its own right. But, you know, with these powerhouses like Oaks Christian, I think, who just won state for their division, and Calabasas is, you know, playing exceptionally well. I mean, we're holding our own, all right? The mighty Chargers. In fact, the throwback for the new L.A. Chargers, they reminded me a lot of myself in high school out there with that royal blue and gold. Just looking nice out there.
Dude, I don't know if I heard that correctly. I think that you just compared, or you just mentioned the Calabasas Coyotes with Oaks Christian, like powers like Calabasas. Man, how times have changed, brother. How times have changed. We're now a threat. We're a legitimate power now, Calabasas.
Yeah, we used to schedule Calabasas for our homecoming game. And, I mean, those are 40-point blowouts right there.
Not anymore.
I think they were churning through head coaches after 0-10 seasons left and right. So now for them to be a powerhouse, I mean, times have changed. Calabasas is the real deal now.
You know, I just want to say one more thing about that, Clay. When I saw that whole debacle with Tennessee and they couldn't find a head coach and they couldn't hire anybody, and inevitably Casey Klaassen's name came up, I'm like, why would he leave a better job for an SEC job when he's the coach at Calabasas? I mean, why would you do that? You can schedule Agora, get that easy win. You can go to the Sagebrush Cantina. You can hang out in the 818. Come on, man. How is that life? How is the 818 life not better than anything going on at Tennessee? You'd echo that, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, with the way these college coaches are getting paid now, it's rivaling that of the NFL. It's only a matter of time before these high school coaches are making, you know, $10-plus million a year.
Right.
So times are changing.
They are. Clay Matthews joining us. I appreciate you humoring me like that. You know, you had 7 tackles and 2.5 sacks. I know it felt good to come back the way you did in a game like that, but you were coming off a muscle strain, and it would be completely understandable if you were a little bit hesitant. So how did you know that you could trust it and cut it loose, and what was your approach going in?
You know, the first game back always after, you know, a muscle pull is always difficult just simply because, you know, you can't really turn it loose until in practice, you know, in the week leading up to the game. It's not until you get to the game to realize what you can kind of get away with. So, you know, fortunately, you know, for us, we were doing a good job of, you know, we were playing with a lead and doing a good job of taking away the run and getting after the quarterback. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to fall into a few plays, had a few good rushes, and, you know, we were able to get Jameis off the spot quite a bit. So, I felt good out there. I felt rested. And, you know, with 4 games left in the season, we all need to feel that way. We all need to be able to play the way in which we did yesterday to, you know, kind of finish this thing out strong and give us a chance to get back to the playoffs.
Clay Matthews joins me for a couple more moments. Now, you were wearing cleats yesterday that raised awareness for Cure Duchin, which I know is a cause that is very close to your heart. In fact, the cleats were designed by boys who are suffering from it. We've talked about this in the past, but for those who do not know, what is Duchin? And how do you become involved in the fight for a cure?
Yeah, sure. So Duchenne is a form of muscular dystrophy that affects young boys at an early age. And most of the time, they don't make it past their teenage years. And, you know, their muscles begin to fail them and to the point in which they're bound to a wheelchair and, you know, unfortunately, death for, you know, some of these boys. So this was a cause that I got involved with several years ago and I really didn't have a friend or family member who suffered from it, but after being involved with the parents and the family members and these boys especially, you know, it really became a cause that's, you know, become near and dear to me. So, you know, for me to wear those cleats yesterday that were designed by boys who were suffering from Duchenne and to see their faces of you know, being able to go out there and wear those cleats to get a win and, you know, have some personal success was, you know, all that great. So those cleats will be auctioned off on the NFL website. So hopefully we can generate as much, you know, revenue as possible with that because 100% of the proceeds are going to it. But, you know, I think the fact that we're bringing awareness to it through the, you know, my cleats, my cause, or just by putting it out there in general is doing a great deal to that community. So couldn't have been happier with the outcome yesterday, and especially the fact that we were able to showcase those cleats and bring awareness.
Especially having the game that you had and you get a win. So what a great job. What a great cause. You know, as I mentioned in the intro earlier this season, you became the Packers' all-time leader in sacks. I know, Clay, you'll tell me that you're focused on Cleveland and the job ahead. I get that. But being the all-time leader for a team with the history of the Packers is pretty amazing. What's that honor mean to you?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And I think, you know, with all these accomplishments we've been able to have, you know, throughout these past 9 years I've been here, from, you know, Super Bowl to some of these record-breaking seasons, I think it means more once you get away from it. So, you know, I'm trying to continue to, you know, get as many sacks as I can in the meantime. But to have that, especially with, you know, some of the guys who have been here before me, guys like, you know, Reggie White and Kabir Gbaja Biamila and, you know, guys like that, it means a great deal. And, you know, hopefully I can keep, you know, adding to that. And, you know, I'm sure years down the road there'll be another person to come along and break that record. But, you know, especially when you have an organization like the Packers to, you know, to hold a record like that, it means a great deal.
All right, so one last thought. You mentioned Aaron. You had a chance to see Aaron Rodgers throw the other day. You said that he was throwing the ball just as high, if not higher, than what he did in Detroit a few years ago. What's he look like to you right now?
I mean, he looks great. You know, he looks like he's ready to go. you know, obviously we've got some time for him to, you know, get some practice reps for these next 2 weeks or whatever it is before he's able to come back. And, you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of his injury, but if, you know, if he's healed up and, you know, we're able to get this win this weekend and our playoff hopes are still alive, you know, we hope that he's back out there because those last three games are going to be difficult. So, but he looks good though. I mean, I can't speak on what he's going through, but, you know, from a fan's perspective, watching him throw the ball, I mean, he looks like Aaron Rodgers of old.
Green Bay is at Cleveland on Sunday. He's a six-time Pro Bowler, a legend of the 818, and now the Packers' all-time leader in sacks. Clay Matthews, my guest. Clay, so good to have you back. Thank you very much. Good luck this weekend, and it's always great to have you on the show.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks again.
Take care. Clay, great talking to you. Clay Matthews is a legend of the 818. You do not see ballers coming out of that area code. Not the 818. So he and I go back and forth. If you wonder what that conversation was about, we went to rival high schools, neither known for playing very good football. He went to Agora High School. I went to Calabasas High School. And he mentioned Oaks Christian. Oaks Christian is up the road in the 805. And there's a lot of money there. It's private. They ball up. But I've never heard him mention Calabasas with that kind of respect. And it's because Casey Clawson's there and has done a great job. Like I said, he's not leaving for Tennessee. You don't leave Calabasas High School for the University of Tennessee. You just don't. Everybody knows that. So hopefully Tennessee didn't waste their time trying to call him. Not when you've got the crazy financial backing in the 818. The commitment to winning. Tennessee wishes that they had the commitment to winning that we at Calabasas do. I mean, come on. Not only that, but back in the day, Brett Saberhagen was our baseball coach. Why the 818 is a destination? Not even the 818, but just Calabasas High School. Because if you work there, you work near the Sagebrush Cantina. Don't get me started on the 818. 818 for life. I have no ink, but I'm thinking about running out and getting some today. 818 for life.
818 for life.
818 for life. I'm living the 818 life, even in another area code. I'm always trying to get back. Always trying to get back. Nobody believes me when I said that or say that. Now, I do have a brand new studio. We did build a brand new studio, so I might not be getting back just yet, but inevitably and eventually, I will end up in the 818. 818 for life. When we return, we'll talk some college football. I gave you my perspective on that fourth spot. The top three were gimmies. They win their conference championships. They get in. It's easy. But then you've got one spot for two teams, Bama or Ohio State. I said, instead of arguing for either, I'm going to argue against both. But I'll give you a different perspective. Pete Thamel joins me next. We'll break that down. Willie McGinnis coming up in hour number three. I have not forgotten about Marshawn Lynch. And maybe his best line ever. That's all still ahead. And the telephone number is wide open. 1-800-636-8686. We'll talk college football playoff next. And then I open it back up to you. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. All right, programming change. We had Pete Thamel scheduled for this segment, but he is busy. We may push him back. Willie McGinnis is set for hour number three. All right, so that opens up the segment right now. Good news for you. Use the number, do it. 1-800-636-8686. I spent the entire open laying out my thoughts on the college football playoff, the matchups we have. Ohio State's out, Alabama's in. You have my thought. I want your thoughts. We talked about Gronk and that cheap shot that he dropped, and I think that's going to end up in a suspension. I'm shocked that he was not ejected from that game. Even Bill Belichick, you can hear that audio. It's a little bit muddy, but you can hear the audio. Belichick apologized to Bills coach Sean McDermott. Quote, "It was bull bleep. I'm sorry. I apologize."
No, I understand. It was bull.
I understand. It was bull bleep. I'm sorry. So we'll see what they do there. This email is in response to that. Rome, that meathead would be checking my ID at the door every weekend if the NFL didn't exist. What a coward move by a goon. Unbelievable. He gave the kid a concussion. I don't care that he's from the area. That was an all-time bag move. Brock from Buffalo. I hate to say it, but it was. And I love Gronk. See, I don't think Gronk, if not for the NFL, Gronk would be some meathead checking IDs at a bar. I give the guy more credit than that. I think the guy's got a tremendous work ethic. I think he's smart. Got a big personality. Great player. But that was a bag move. That was a dirty move. I'm not saying he's a dirty guy, but then again, you might even argue to me, if you do dirty things, you're a dirty guy. If you do dirty things, you're a dirty player. I don't think he is. I don't think he is, but he just snapped. That was inexcusable. I mean, really reprehensible. It was a bag move. It was a dirty play. That wasn't one of those things. That wasn't heat of the moment. That wasn't like he said, quote, there's just a whole lot of frustration. That wasn't something that just happened. That was something that he did. Jim, Gronk's explanation was very clear. Signed, IKEA Assembly Instructions. Drew in West L.A. Yeah, preach, brother.
Calling me for the craziest stuff ever. And it's like crazy. I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? And then they don't call that? I mean, it was just frustration. And that's what happened.
In response to that question, what was I supposed to do? Essentially anything other than what you did do. Rome, Gronk trying to explain his late hit made perfect sense to us. Signed, people on the show, cops, who say the drugs in their pockets aren't theirs. Steve in PHX. No. How'd they get there, sir? I don't know. Where's your shirt, sir? I don't know. Why are you barefoot, sir? Why are you fighting with your wife, sir? We're not. Then why is she bleeding, sir? Whose car is that, sir? I don't know. I'm just walking without shoes. 1-800-636-8686. What's that booger sugar coming out of your nose? It's not mine. I don't know how it got there. Oh, I had a powdered donut before you came here, officer. You know all about those things, officers. You love donuts, right?
Donuts.
Yeah, when 2004 called, they want their take back. 1996 called, Alvin. They want their cops take back.
Bad boys, what you gonna do?
Drew in West LA probably has tape of it. I'm not going to mess with Drew in West LA. I'm not going to say it, Drew. I never said that. The last time Drew called me out for a signed Jim Rome circa 2006, and I quickly said, hey, son, I never said anything like that. He produced audio of me saying just that, so I'm not going to mess with Drew anymore. You're right, Drew. I probably said it. Let's see. Checking my new call screen. My new software, excuse me. Let's go to Portland. Eric in Portland. Right to the front of the line. Eric, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Vance. Thanks so much for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it. And congrats on the new studio. Fantastic interview with Clay Matthews. I really enjoyed that. That guy is a class act. I would go so far as to say he's polar opposites of that frustrated tight end that plays up here in New England. What a disgusting display. I've been watching football a long time. That was I've heard the word classless and dirty hit thrown around. I think that's an understatement. It was premeditated. It was malicious. There was intent to injure, a successful intent to injure. You gave the guy a concussion. It was disgraceful. It really was. And that's coming from Patriots country up here. I'm actually shocked Gronk didn't get hurt on the play. The guy's about as durable as a dandelion. He's made out of balsa wood, but and no ejection. That's the other no ejection. Any other team in the league except for the one that hails from Fraudborough, the good old Patsy. No ejection. Gene Steratore standing there like a mannequin, like he usually does during Pats games. Which, by the way, he referees about 75% of their games. Helped him win. War Buffalo.
Eric. Let me jump in really quick. Eric, are you a Patriots fan? I'm shocked that I'm getting that kind of take from Portland, Maine. Are you a Pats fan or no?
I wouldn't go so far. I go to every Patriots home game. I haven't missed one in 10 years, but I'm usually rooting against them. I'm a bit of a Steeler fan. However, I mean, you can't say that anything I didn't just say was completely true.
No, I agree. I agree with almost all of it. I don't disagree at all. I'm just shocked from where it's coming from. Rack it. In fact, not only do I not have a problem with it, I would rack the call. I mean, it was disgusting. It was dirty. And to say it was premeditated, you know, probably so. The way Gronk explained it, like, listen, what was I supposed to do? They call me for offensive PI. They don't call it the other way. Quote, it was just a lot of frustration. It was just a lot of frustration. It just happened. It didn't just happen. That's not what happened. You know what happens in these bang-bang plays that are happening so quickly where you can't adjust where you're going to hit a guy? That just happened. We understand plays like that in the NFL just happen. Well, that ding just happened. What didn't just happen was what he did. Thanks, Alvy. Way to pick me up. Or was that Hawk? Who did that ding? See, I don't know anymore, Alvin. I don't want to say that I don't trust you, but now that I know that Hawk was responsible for Eldrick's cursing package, I wonder what else he might be responsible for. Yeah, I'm shocked that Gronk did what he did, and him trying to explain it did not make it any better. Own it the way Belichick owned it when he apologized to Sean McDermott. Ed Miller in the D tweets, Gronk just wanted to party like the Bills Mafia for a second, so he pretended to jump off the top of an RV to put white through a table. That would make more sense than him concussing a guy because he didn't like the way the game was being refereed in a game where they were blowing out the Bills again. And like I said, that hurts me more than it's going to hurt him because, one, what I'm saying about him I'm sure doesn't hurt him. And, two, I really like the guy. I would hate for anybody to pull that kind of nonsense in an NFL game, but especially Gronk with a guy who's face down and defenseless and a guy that big coming in like with an elbow or a shot like that. Inexcusable. All right, so when we come back, we'll talk about something positive, something upbeat, something that will make us all feel good. Marshawn Lynch. And is dealing with the media yesterday. That's next. Next hour, William McGinnis. Maybe Pete Thamel. We'll see where that stands. Still ahead, my thoughts on Marshawn. Also, the Vikings. How about Case Keenum? Now, on the one hand, I want to say that maybe you should just give this guy the job. You know, maybe it's just me. But Teddy Bridgewater is a great guy who had something really bad happen to him physically. I understand how everybody in that organization loves that guy. But is it me or was he Fran Tarkington and I forgot? I mean, Teddy Bridgewater never, ever did anything like Case Keenum is doing right now. So why is Keenum not getting more credit? And he did it again. They beat the Falcons. Chiefs fan, nobody is skating today like you are and your team. They're a disaster. And the Raiders and the Chargers ran them down. All of that is still ahead, but first, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let me adjust the schedule for you quickly. Top of the hour, Willie McGinnis. Pete Thamel after that. Open segment right now. But I do want to talk about the Raiders. Alvin, you know this drill. I'm going to need a bed for this next take. And you know exactly what I'm looking for. It is the first Monday in December. The Raiders are coming off of a win. They're now in a three-way tie for first place in the West, which is incredible. So hit me with the good stuff, Alvy. Raider fan, it's got to feel so good. That has to sound so good to you. Has to feel great to hear that, Raider fan. Especially after the day that Marshawn Lynch had yesterday. Because that was vintage Marshawn Lynch. 17 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown. His first 100-yard game since October of 2015, and it featured huge moments like this.
Brady sent in an extra lineman, Adal Alexander, and Lynch picks up a first down and more. Marshawn Lynch will go all the way, 50 yards. Jonathan Casillas in just a little bit over pursuit here. Good block out front by Casimile, and Marshawn Lynch just gashes them to start this football game. And I got to tell you, Ken, that's pretty par for the course for the Giants. They are not very good at run defense. One guy out of his gap. Huge touchdown for the Raiders.
NFL on Fox with that audio. Monster, monster run. But that monster run was not even Marshawn's best moment. In fact, his best moment didn't even come on the field. It came off the field after the game. As we've talked about before, Marshawn has had some truly legendary moments over the course of his career when it comes to dealing with the media. How about a quick look back, a quick recap? There's the yeah soundbite after beating the Cardinals back in 2014.
What's going on? Is the back all right? Obviously, we got back in there.
Yeah.
How important was it to keep this team so good in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
How does your back feel, Marshawn?
Yeah.
You got those heating pads in your cleats?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was as good as it was ever going to get. But then, the conversation with Deion Sanders before the Super Bowl, where he laid out his mission statement.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just about that action, boss. I'm just about that action, boss.
I'm just about that action, boss.
And then, of course, this. His Mona Lisa of quotes.
I'm here so I won't get fined. 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 I'm just here so I won't get fined.
I thought nothing would ever top that. I thought nothing could ever top, I'm just here so I won't get fined. I mean, I really did. A truly amazing line that's often imitated but never improved. Straight from his lips to a viral sensation that launched 1,000 memes. But if I'm just here so I won't get fined is the Godfather, then he dropped Godfather 2 on everybody yesterday. Let's take a step back for a moment before we truly jump in and bathe in the glory of his quote from yesterday. It's clear that one of the recurring themes in Marshawn's work with the media is that Marshawn does not love talking to the media. And if there's a reason to not talk to the media, he's not going to ignore it. And he got his reason yesterday that he couldn't ignore. And the reason was a notice in his locker that he had been selected for a random drug test. He showed the reporters the note and said, No. Before I roll this, you take a deep breath and get ready for greatness. Wait for it. Let me know when you're ready. Are you ready for greatness? Are you sure? Okay, go ahead. Roll it.
Man, I'm sorry. But look, it's either this or that. And I can't afford that. So I apologize. But if y'all don't understand what this is when you got to pull your ding-ding sauce out and give them a, what is it called? A urine sample. So thank you.
Bam! You can hit that with anything you want. A mic drop. An explosion. A boom out of here. You can drop every sound in the vault. Any and all sounds on the vault, because you are not going to get a better post-game quote than that. Let me read that back to you in case you missed it. Quote, I'm sorry, though. Look, it's either this or that, and I can't afford that. I apologize. But if you do not understand what this is, it's when you put your ding-ding sauce out and give them a sample. My man just preferred to providing a urine sample as when you put your ding-ding sauce out and you give them a sample. I mean, that's incredible. That really is unreal.
Ding ding sauce out and give them a, what is it called? A urine sample. So, thank you.
When you put your ding ding sauce out.
Ding ding sauce out.
I gotta be real. I was a little bit down at the end of last week when it appeared that Tennessee had blown the chance at bringing Mike Leach to the SEC. That was a huge blow to me and to my family because it destroyed a lot of the hope that I still had in this world. And then Marshawn comes and redeems it all. He goes and he redeems all of us. Redeems absolutely everything with two words and a hyphen. Ding, ding, sauce.
Ding, ding, sauce.
Truly glorious. What a time to be alive. Ding, ding, sauce.
Ding, ding, sauce.
Marshawn just made me feel so much better about the league, the world, the universe, the galaxy, the afterlife, everything.
Ding ding sauce.
And with what? Two words and a hyphen.
Ding ding sauce.
Let's all say it together. Ding ding sauce.
Ding ding sauce.
Let's all say it with Marshawn. Ding ding, ding sauce. Sauce. Again, everybody, ding ding, ding sauce. Sauce. Don't you feel better? Now here's the thing. This is really important. Let's all say it again one more time together.
Ding ding, ding sauce.
I have a warning for all of you. That was a truly beautiful thing that happened after yesterday's game. A special moment. Now, I did hesitate to even mention it because I know how you degenerates are. You take something wondrous, you take something wonderful, and you ruin it. I know you clones. I know what you're thinking before you think it. And I know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to ruin it, and you're going to ruin it by coming in here with your Yuri Sukart and A-Rod resets, or you're going to try and jam a Najee Davenport reference into a tweet or an email about ding ding sauce.
Ding ding sauce.
Don't. Don't do it. Do not do it. I have been building this for decades. I don't need some of you losers ruining it all in a matter of moments with your bathroom humor. Because you will ruin it. So instead of ruining something wondrous, appreciate it for what it is. Let's know that we had this moment, and then never speak of it ever again. How about that? Because the moment some of you losers say ding ding sauce,
ding ding sauce,
you will ruin it. And I will not have you ruin something as amazing as the phrase ding ding sauce.
Ding ding sauce.
And the guy who said it. Don't do it, clones. Find something else to ruin. Just not that. I'm not standing for it. I'm not having it. 1-800. Ding ding sauce.
Ding ding sauce.
Right when we needed it most. And look at the AFC West. All of a sudden, now you got a three-way tie atop. Well, you know it's a busy day if I haven't even gotten to the Chiefs yet. And their meltdown. 1-800-636-8686. What else do you want to cover? What do you want to hit on? I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I want to talk about the Vikings and Case Keenum. I want to talk about Kansas City and the fact that Alex Smith got off. He had a great game, and it still didn't matter because they could not get off the field. How about Seattle? They were dead in the water, allegedly. They're busted up. There's almost nothing left of the LOB, and they find a way to beat Philadelphia. Shock Philadelphia. Chargers hold on to beat the Browns. And in Detroit, when they were going to blow up the dome, even that didn't work out. We could talk some baseball, too. The Yankees hire Aaron Boone. Do you like that move or not? All of those topics work for me. Who do you like, Alabama or Ohio State? If you heard me at the show open, instead of arguing for either one, I've chosen to argue against both of them. And we talked about ding ding sauce. I don't want you going there. I don't want you ruining that.
Ding,
Gronk
ding,
going cheap shot. Still can't believe that guy did what he did, and I think that should get him suspended. Didn't get him ejected, but it could get him suspended. 1-800-636-8686. Also earlier today, I gave you our voicemail number. Last chance to leave me a voicemail message for episode 16 of the Jim Rome podcast, which is going to drop tomorrow. I am going to tape that tomorrow with Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary V is on fire, and he's going to be the lone guest in episode 16. Should we try a telephone call right here? I'm thinking about it. Hey, look, he's on topic. He's in market. Let's go to Oakland. I just talked about Marshawn Lynch, and the Raiders get a win they had to have, and they're in a three-way tie now in the AFC West. Let's go to Evan in Oakland. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jimmy, what's up, man?
It's Evan
in Oakland, and I'm going to tell you about why the Raiders suck.
I'm all ears, Evan. What's up?
All right. Well, first of all, I've been here for almost 20 years in Oakland. I'm a lifelong New England Patriots fan. I've still got these guys talking about the Tuck rule. They can't move on from it. Never mind the fact that the next year later they had the league MVP in Rich Gannon, and the curse of Chucky tended to bust their balls in the Super Bowl because they didn't change the language of the plays, and they complained about that as well. Now, as far as Marshawn Lynch goes, the thing he's going to be most famous for in his whole career is the fact that Russell Wilson didn't hand the ball off to him in the Super Bowl, and Malcolm Butler stepped up and became a national treasure, okay? And now, here's the other thing. David Carr, are you kidding me? Is this guy a vampire? Does he have eyeliner tattooed around his eyes? He's the creepiest looking dude I've ever seen. And now, as far as Gronk, he lost his mind. There's no question about it. I speak fluent Gronk. I don't speak it, but I understand it. I could speak a few words of Gronk. And when he goes and says, what am I going to do about it? What am I supposed to do? He's talking about the way he's held all the time. And what is he supposed to do about that? He knows he was wrong for what he did. That was not what he was talking about, hitting the guy with a forearm shiver. That was brutal. But check it out. As far as Raiders go, they're always going to suck. Doesn't matter if they're in Oakland, if they're in Vegas, if they're in Stockton, if they're in L.A., they will always be straight TV sauce. Thank you. I'm out.
All right, Evan. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you something before you left. I want a point of clarification. When you talk about the vampire that is David Carr, were you talking about Derek Carr or David Carr? Were you talking about Derek Carr, the quarterback of the Raiders, or were you talking about his older brother, David, who's on NFL Network?
David Carr.
I know you said David Carr, but I wanted to ask him, but then he just disconnected. Which vampire are you speaking of? Which one of those guys do you think is wearing eyeliner, David or Derek?
David Carr.
That's actually pretty funny. When you have a child like that or a Patriot fan, a hardcore Patriot fan who's displaced and he's in Raider country just going on and on. These guys are still crying about the Tuck rule. I mean, he owned what Gronk did about as much as Gronk owned what Gronk did, which is to say, not at all. You know, again, you can talk about the officiating. You can talk about frustration. I'm sure there was some hand-checking going on, and there was an offensive PI. I don't doubt for a second that Gronk was frustrated, but there's nothing that the refs or the Bills or anybody on that field could have done to Gronk to justify what Gronk did in retaliation. It was a straight cheap shot. It was dirty. It was cheap. There's no place on it for the field or on the field at all. There's nothing that you can say to rationalize, justify, or explain it, which is why Bill Belichick came off the field, went right to the opposing head coach, Sean McDermott, and said, it was bull bleep. I'm sorry. Notice Belichick was not trying to make that same argument. Sorry, Albie, go ahead.
No, I understand. It was bull. I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
I understand. It was bull bleep. I'm sorry. Again, come on now, Sean. You saw what was going on there, Sean. You know what they called Sean, what they didn't call Sean. You saw what your guy was doing to my guy, Sean. None of that from Bill Belichick. Yeah, I know. I understand. It was bull bleep. I'm sorry. Dear Rome, I was just in the middle of composing an email where I was going to ask you why you thought so highly of Marshawn Lynch. I was on my third paragraph of citing examples of how stupid he is. And then you said, ding, ding, sauce. So yeah, I guess Marshawn is okay in my book now. Phil in Missouri, right?
Ding, ding, sauce.
Yeah, I can see where you might feel that way about Marshawn. Like I always say, we don't know any of these guys, but you really don't know that guy. But now you do. Because he excused himself from talking to the media because he was asked to administer some ding, ding, sauce.
Ding, ding, sauce out.
And give him a phrase.
What is it called?
A urine sample.
What is it called? He can't get urine sample out, but he had no problem getting out ding, ding, sauce.
Ding, ding, sauce out.
All right, top of the hour. What do you do? Whatever you want at the top of the hour. Get your ding, ding, sauce. Get something to eat. Do whatever you got to do. I'll be back. And when I do come back, I've got Willie McGinnis coming up next. I'm sure Willie's going to have thoughts on all these things that we've hit on in the NFL. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.